Hey.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good, how are you, Sheldon?
That was the new rockin' version of our intro music. Yeah.
That was different, wasn't it?
That was you once again, but this time rocking out a little bit more.
A little bit of a rock pop song there called Run to the Sun. And if you read the lyrics, it's both our physical sun and also sun as an S-O-N, capital S-O-N.
Cool.
Son of God. Yeah.
Double entendre action.
Beautiful, huh?
So how are things up in Seattle?
If you could imagine, it's cloudy, gray.
Surprise.
Yeah. How about down in the Bay Area?
Blue skies, white puffy clouds.
Uh-huh.
Cool fall crisp weather. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Is that what the Bay Area is all about?
It is, and a forgiveness opportunity for me on the Pacific Northwest end of things. It's good to hear your voice, Sheldon. It's been a while since we've done a live show. I think it's been about a month. And welcome to those that may be listening live or in the future. Just real quick, today's show topic.
You flew solo the other time.
Yeah, I did a little pre-recorded solo thing, which was pretty hard. It was tough not having you there, Sheldon. I missed you. I missed you, brother.
You did great. I listened to the thing. I was like, wow, you rocked that. That's cool. And
that's the magic of pre-recording.
Totally easy and natural.
Well, that's the magic of pre-recording. You can stop and edit and go back.
It's called editing.
Exactly. Cool. But hey, this show topic is basically 2015. We're going to be looking back on the year personally, nationally, globally, practicing a lot of forgiveness there. And we would definitely love to hear from anybody that has a 2015 story or Course in Miracles story or question. And you can call in toll free at 888-627-6008.
And freak us out once again. That would
you will freak Sheldon out. Yes.
So, holy smokes. Okay. Somebody's listening. Hey, you know, you said there are some statistics of somebody's listening in Germany. How cool is that?
Yeah. That it may be more than one person. I don't know. But it's in like, so if anyone from Germany is listening, Sheldon doesn't sprechen any German, but we'll learn.
Yes. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Welcome, awesome. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. So what are we're talking life, we're talking year in review.
Year in review. We're going to do our like a guided meditation. We'll do our course quotes or course-like quotes.
Yes.
Do you have yours ready to go, Sheldon, or should
it
I read
is. Mine? Mine's ready to go. This is from Way of Mastery, which is a teaching that is in my opinion, thought totally consistent and a continuation of the Course in Miracles, and it is channeled by a gentleman named J.M. who's channeling Jeshua, and this is what they call the early years. So this is early on when he started channeling Jeshua, probably 25 years ago. This is Jeshua through J.M. that says, "Imagine a world where love is no longer sought. Imagine a world in which each mind seeks no longer healing. Imagine a world in which the co-creators with God choose freely to come into space and time only to extend love. Imagine a world in which everyone was at peace and saw that God, indeed, who is but love, was the source of their supply. Imagine a world in which every brother and sister was loved because they represented the expression of light in form, and no one was cast aside, and no one was forgotten. You have not come to suffer this world, though you may do so. You have not come to wear seriousness upon the face, though you may do so if you choose. You have not come to strive to find community, but to bring it to the world through you. All power under heaven and earth resides within your holy mind to choose to be the one who was awake and bring only love to this world. Remember the truth that is unchanged and unchangeable forever. I am the thought of love and form."
Ta-da. Yeah, that sounded great when you're reading it. It also sounds really cool when JM is channeling that. JM. JM is JAYEM. For those of you that may not have heard. And how, Sheldon, is there a website still?
Yeah, I believe it's Way of Mastery.
Okay,
If you go to wayofmastery.com, if you just Google Way of Mastery, JM, JAYEM, he comes right up.
Okay.
And he still travels all over the world and does all kinds of workshops, and he's got a 3-year series. His series is like an audio or book or chapter basically once a month for 3 years. So it's not a daily thing. It's a once a monthly thing that you're supposed to contemplate for the whole month. Way of the heart, way of transformation, way of knowing. And that those three teachings constitute the way of mastery.
Right. Yeah. And thanks for introducing me, because I downloaded the Way of the Heart lessons, and those were really good.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
12. Yeah. So it's monthly. So it's 12 lessons. And I was able to listen to all of them, got them on my iPod and listen to them at work and in the car. It was great.
Yeah. They're really, and they're totally consistent with the course. I mean, there's, I don't consider there to be any difference. I think some people get into, making distinctions about things, but it's all part of that whole progression of deepening into your, you know, awareness of and embodiment of an expression of love. So.
Beautiful. Thanks for bringing that in. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will read my quote, and this quote comes directly from A Course in Miracles, and it's from the text, chapter 26, section 5, paragraph 14. I'll read the full paragraph. Forgive the past and let it go, for it is gone. You stand no longer on the ground that lies between the worlds. You have gone on and reached the world that lies at heaven's gate. There is no hindrance to the will of God, nor any need that you repeat again a journey that was over long ago. Look gently on your brother and behold the world in which perception of your hate has been transformed into a world of love.
Beautiful.
Yeah, once again, in a single paragraph, just kind of sums up what the course is all about. Forgiving the world that it's not there, and then seeing your brother with love. It's pretty much it, and it just repeats that over and over and over and over and over again. And so I think that's what we're going to do today, kind of talk about the things that we see with our physical eyes or experience with our physical bodies or emotions, and then start practicing forgiveness on what appeared to be the year 2015.
And there was a lot going on.
There was.
A lot to look at. So we're going to start with a quick meditation here?
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and do that? And I believe, Sheldon, it's by default your turn.
Okay.
A spiritual sucker punch.
Ooh, yeah. Blindsided. okay. Here we go. Okay. We're going to do a little meditation. So get comfortable. Preferably seated, feet planted on the ground, spine nice and straight. But whatever position, comfortable, relaxed, and hopefully not driving. Taking a nice deep inhalation and a nice full extended exhalation as you release. Bringing your awareness into your breath. Making it full, soft, gentle. Making the inhalation a smooth transformation and transition into the exhalation, flowing back into the inhalation in a continuous stream. The flow of giving and receiving. The flow of love. Continuous. As you give, so you receive more. And as you receive, you have to give. The breath is a symbol of life, which is but love. Let that love be shared with every breath, expressed with every word, embodied in every action. This is the way to peace and joy. This is how we bring heaven to earth. We live it. We are but the thought of love in form. Let that love flow through you. Let that love flow in you. With every breath you take. And when thoughts arise, feelings, emotional states that might block that expression of love, usually in the form of judgments, love those too. Judgment does not need further judgment. The judgment needs love. A brother or sister in fear expressing as anger, as judgment, as defensiveness, does not need judgment. He or she needs love. May you be the one who extends that love. Allow the miracle to flow through you. This is being in the world and yet not of it. let us bring our hands together in prayer to give thanks for this time of communion. The heart filled with gratitude. Bring your awareness back into your body and into this moment and into this physicality, and we conclude. There you go.
Very nice. Thank you, Sheldon.
Woo. Okay.
What did that do to you?
Cool. Very relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
It's pretty cool. The kind of like shift when you close your eyes is virtually instantaneous now for me. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bam. These waves of energy flowing in. You feel that, right? Same thing. Right?
Where do you feel energy flowing?
Top of the head. It will start there, and then it anchors in and hits the heart and radiates. I would say, if I was trying to describe it, and I haven't really thought about it like that, but that's probably what it is, I guess. You had talked about in your blog regarding your book, Forgiveness, Inc. I think you mentioned in your blog about Holy Spirit come.
Yes.
Calling in the Holy Spirit directly. And I used to do that in all the meditations. I used to call in the Holy Spirit directly, exactly like you talked about, which was really interesting because I didn't remember where I got that from.
From Ron Roth. Yep.
Yeah, and I'd read that book very early on when you were down here with us and leading the group, the Course in Miracles group, and I'd read that book. And I remember Darren Ashley. Wow, that's he was an old classmate of mine from the Naval Academy.
Darren Owens.
Yeah, seriously. He's on his path. That'd be cool to have. Yeah.
There he is. It's all about looking back.
Yeah. So Darren Owens would do Come Holy Spirit in one of his groups. And I remember thinking that I liked it better to say Holy Spirit come, because you were calling who you were calling.
Yeah.
It's a weird distinction in my own mind, and it just made more sense for me. And then Ron Roth did it as well, which I forgot. So anyway, that was kind of cool. That definitely works.
It's pretty powerful. I was surprised. Well, even today, I guess, just saying it to myself, Holy Spirit, come, just boom. It's immediate. At least that's my experience of it.
And mine was this energy through the top of the head anchoring into the heart, right?
Mm-hmm. And
then I was looking online, and they have all those things with threefold flame, the I am presence, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they'll have this silver cord going through the top of your body out to the top, and then the Holy Spirit's sitting above your head, and then when you call it, it drops in.
So
there are people that actually describe that and draw it. And I thought, well, that's what it feels like, so makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
That when you're calling,
there's an energy dropping in that's connected to your, you know, heart source all the way through, and that it literally, when you call it, it literally comes, you know, drops in.
Yeah, and that's where I just personally feel it is, in the chest, which makes sense that there's a lot of paintings of Christ or saints, ascended masters, where they have the flaming heart. Because I think, you know, Holy Spirit is, you know, if it's going to formulate itself somehow in the world, it seems to be a lot more feminine and open in nature than like a masculine type of an energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be working with Holy Spirit quite a bit on this show, especially as we're practicing forgiveness and what appear to have been events and things occurring personally and globally in 2015.
And we were taking some time here, to look at the whole kind of scope of things. And how do you look at that, or how are you, what are your thoughts or feelings?
Well, I was kind of thinking, one, it was interesting. I realized, like you said, 2015, a lot happened. And I know for me, like at a personal level or a professional level, you know, I was in management, and by April of this year, I transitioned out. You know, I had been through quite a bit, 2 years as a manager at a large corporation. And it was interesting, even though I took another job, decided, you know, and I had checked in with Holy Spirit because I have, to be honest with you, something to forgive about myself, is I've had a tendency to run away from things, like when they got tough. And granted, I would say, you know, whatever, in this lifetime, I feel like if someone said, I want to be a manager, right? And they would go through what would appear to be a normal experience. Whereas when I do it, it's like all this stuff comes up at one time. So I think by default, and maybe I, you know, it's like you could talk contracts and setting things up outside before you come in as a body or whatever. I know in some cases, I think I've set things up to be a little bit harder. And then my tendency was to run away, and then I'd have to come back a second time, which is why I think I'm in corporation again for a second time, rather than just chilling out, sticking it out. In this case, would be relying on Holy Spirit to help release things as I'm going through it. You know, I think it just speaks to, one, my pattern, but then also trying to rely on that inner voice, that guide voice of Holy Spirit, and, you know, what would be the best thing to do versus running away and having repeat things.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will admit openly, I have a feeling that I probably will return to management at some point in my career before I retire.
Mm-hmm.
I can already feel that.
I believe that.
Just funny. Yeah. So for me, you know, like I look back on that experience and I would invite the Holy Spirit in to release and undo the stresses and traumas that I felt as a manager and the things that I probably made up and sided with the ego on, whether it was, you know, the way I would see people or situations and judge them. And so in this moment, I'm in my mind inviting Holy Spirit into those moments or experiences when I was a manager in that time frame, and asking that right now for Holy Spirit to release and heal.
Beautiful. And you're talking about actually doing that with the stuff that happened this past year.
Yeah, like in my mind, I'm just kind of a couple things that might pop up when I think about it. Yeah, it's like I go back in my mind and go, oh, yeah, 2015, still in that time frame as a manager. I feel the pressures of we were trying to get into production on a certain product and people were, you know, still kind of, they would get angry or really stressed and intense and the way, and I'm a feeler, so I pick up on all that. It would stress me out. So in my mind, in my body, I'm going back to that, but now, because I'm talking about it and focusing on it, but I'm also asking, you know, Holy Spirit to release this because I would rather experience peace instead of that.
Which is that beauty of there is no time and space, right? That
right.
We can remember those things and release those things and forgive those things and love those things and transform and transmute those things at any time, whenever it arises in your presence, in your state of mind, even now, right? That you can use that time to look back on history, if you will, right? If you can look on history, but you can look at it from a place of love and forgiveness and compassion, that you're actually healing work right there.
That's exactly. Yeah, because those emotional...
Rather than just spinning out in it all over again, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
I can tell that there's still pieces there from that, which means because it hasn't been completely healed in my mind, it's going to show up differently.
Right.
You know, whether I'm an engineer or walking about my daily life. So that's why I think it's good sometimes to reflect back on things that maybe you didn't even realize were completely traumatic or stressful or whatever, or lack knocking you out of peace, but it's good to just kind of review it and see it like, ooh, wow, yeah, I got a little triggered there. I want to release that and heal that so I don't have to repeat that lesson over and over and over again.
Right. Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, how about for you, Sheldon?
It's been quite a year. There's just been a lot going on, I guess, with the Arts Unity Movement Center. And then, you know, that organization and building that and growing that as a place where people can come and look at things and do their work through creative expression, through dance and movement, all that kind of stuff, right? And through the Course in Miracles and all kinds of stuff. So that's been busy. It's interesting, I think, that my mom passed away in this last year. So there's been a lot of work, you know, leading up to that point. And then when I look at that as being probably one of the hugest things for me. And it's something that still, you know, comes up. I guess. I don't really. Yeah. I mean, it's a big one, right? Mm-hmm. For me. And so there's been a lot of transition and a lot of shifting my work completely. It's basically coming up on the anniversary of December 20th of last year. I was put into this particular shop where I am currently, managing auto body shop, right? And so I was moved into this shop with two other coworkers. The three of us moved in. The other two have since quit. So I'm by myself at this point. Of the three that came in, and I was talking with some of the guys, and I think there's three people that were there when I started out of like 13 or 14, 15. So it's virtually an entirely new crew through the course of that year. And as like you're talking about, you know, making shifts and transitions, and how do you do that? How do you hold that space, right? Mm-hmm. And still live in the world. There's still judgments or, you know, things that have to shift, or, you know, it's like, okay, this isn't working the way it's supposed to be working. And how do you make that work? But how do you do that from a place that's not frustration, anger, judgment, condemnation, and still say, okay, I want to change that. You know, let's change it.
Right. Yeah.
That's been my work for the last year, is getting. And been doing that for a while now, because the whole time I've been doing the course, I've been running body shops. So it's very interesting for me to look at that from the very first time when you and I were together down here and going through the lessons. And I'm going through the lessons. And I was running a shop back then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Swearing and cussing at the guys. Just cussing them out, ripping their heads off. And my guys right now think, you know, you used to do that? Because I tell them, I'm like, yeah, I was a screamer, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I screamed at one guy just to do it for the fun of it, so he could hear, what were you like when you're screaming? And I used to start yelling at him, and he was just like, holy shit. Totally freaked him out. I was like, yeah, that's how I used to walk around the shop all day. And he was just like, wow, okay. But to kind of... you know, that whole, it's been a process. It's an unfolding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this last shop, a bunch of people that I thought, wow, we talk about that whole expression of miracles and manifestation, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, you hit the piece inside and it reflects outside. This last shop, half of the people, when I say, you know, only three are the same, almost everybody that left transitioned out on their own. Like, I didn't fire anybody. It just happened. Yeah. I would be like, I don't know, that guy's working out. And then he'd come in and go, you know what? I think I'm going to quit. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. So there is that whole, you know, expression of thought in form that I think comes from the, you know, it becomes very miraculous on a daily basis. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the energies or, you know, whether it's on the more lighter side or the darker side, will just sort of, if you allow it, just sort of let it go and let it flow where it needs to. It sort of, you know, moves on its own. Like in your example, your shop transformed around you, whereas in other cases, some of the more lighter elements might leave and let the darker elements just sort of spiral down, because that might be the lesson or they need to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's like when we talk about, you know, global scale, larger scale transition, shifting, when you're looking at all that stuff, and we've talked about this before, you know, how do you look at that, right? And how do you hold your own space in your own heart and your own divinity and your own place of peace, and then look upon the world?
And,
but it's, you know, that process of seeking first the kingdom within, right? Of always going inside first and always looking at holding that space first, getting to that place if you're not feeling you're there, and that being your primary purpose and work, and going in first, and then looking out, right? And so going in first and how going in, the process of always going in begins to reflect outwardly differently. And it doesn't always have to, like you're saying. Sometimes it could be more darkness comes up, whatever it is, right? But it is the opportunities arising within you to go within once again.
Yeah.
Under
yeah.
different circumstances, right? And they're constantly changing.
Well, they appear to be, right? And yeah. I think that's the power of the Course. And, you know, quite honestly, like books like The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard, I think help boil it down and simplify it. But ultimately, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, someone cut you off on the road or someone upset you personally, or you're in a large corporation and appears to be insane, or we're on a planet that appears to have an increase in terrorism and gun violence. It's the same answer. It's realizing, oh yeah, I made this up at the greater you level that is now fractured and splintered, and I would rather experience peace than this. And so the process is, you recognize that you created it, you want to see it differently, and then you release it to the Holy Spirit to heal it in your mind, so that you are more at peace, you are more loving, especially as you look on your brothers and sisters, and you don't see them as like a corporate executive in a tie or someone that cut you off. You see them as what they really are, which is spirit. And it's a fairly simple process, just not so easy to do sometimes when you're caught up in it.
Right. Right. It is very simple.
Yeah.
It's core. It's super simple in its core. Right. And the Course has very simple, like, you know, everything is either an expression of love or an expression of fear.
Yep.
And I always like that one because it's very simple and I can remember it.
Yeah, you're either siding with the Holy Spirit or you're not. It's right. There's no gray area. It's right. And for some people, that's kind of hard to comprehend, right? It's sort of, and I think that's why, you know, there's the religions, there's so much protection around it and fear around religion, because there's a lot of God in there, but then there's still a lot of hate and a lot of judgment. And according to the Course, it's saying, well, you're still siding with the ego. Mm-hmm. Even if you use the word God, but you're still judging people, condemning them, you know, saying you're better than the other, then you're not all the way there, because it's a non-dualistic perspective on our experience.
Right. And there's this guy, he was a Sufi master in the 60s and 70s, and he's really funny. He's got videos, and because he did these walks to Golden Gate Park all the way through the 90s when he, through the end of his life. But he had these funny, he had one expression was, you get more stinking from thinking than you do from drinking, but the feel is for real. You get more stinking from thinking than you do from drinking. Yeah, but the feel is for real. And then another one was, you can't get it, you got to catch it, or something like that. It's like it's not an intellectual mental get, it's a catch. It's an embodiment of, right? You know, you gotta catch it. And he had a second part of that I can't remember, but he's like, and you catch it by being around people who got it.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was really, it's really funny. But
it kind of sounds like the Mike Myers movie, The Love Guru. I don't know if you ever saw that. No. He would come up with these trademark lines. And
so what about all the stuff?
The stuff.
The big stuff.
Like,
well, not the big stuff, I guess. It's because it's just all the same.
It's the same. Yeah, that's why, yeah, there is no order and difficulty in miracles. You know, basically the Holy Spirit sees it all as the same thing. It's all one big insane creation, not one big. It's just one insane splintered creation of the ego. And so in your mind, if you're releasing the fact that maybe you're judging a family member all the way to like a nuclear holocaust, to the Holy Spirit, it's the same thing.
Right.
But it can be really difficult because it's a simple process, but still, because of the belief systems that we have or the seemingly real experiences, some things are really hard to let go versus others, you know, like especially going on Facebook, I'm just going to do it right now. I'm going to go on Facebook. Here we go. I'm going to refresh it. What are the top postings on here? Okay, I got a cat thing on here. That's not a surprise. I'm just waiting to see. There's going to be something in here either about ISIS, gun violence with police or shootings, and Probably Donald Trump. Yeah, there we go. There's Donald Trump. Little funny thing about him. His talking about how insane he is, right? So any one of these can be a great tool to kind of take a look at it, see what it's doing internally, but just everything's a reminder to release it to the Holy Spirit to heal. Because, you know, a politics, totally insane. Whether you're talking U.S. politics or global politics, it's total insanity. The idea of terrorism, complete insanity. And so, I mean, you can get caught up in it if you want to, you know, get into it. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theory type things out there, and people really get into it and see conspiracy theories all over. And I'm not saying that none of that is false. I definitely agree with some of the things. I just don't want to get completely caught up in it so that it becomes my reality on the world, when our true reality is love and the fact that we really reside in heaven and that all this stuff is made up to trick us into thinking that we're bodies.
If you look at stuff with that either love or fear, things are expressions of love or expressions of fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it from your own personal thing, right? Let's say, okay, I'm either expressing from love or expressing from fear. But that's the same of my brother and sister, right? They're either expressing love or expressing fear. So if you're expressing love, you love them back. But if they're expressing fear, you love them back, right? Because that's what they need, more love, not fear.
Yep.
Right? There's one of those Facebook things where it says, you know, what if somebody is mean to you and you give them love and, you know, they don't love you back? And it says, increase the dose. You know what I mean? That's kind of funny.
Right.
It's like a doctor, you know, well, you double the dose. You double down over and over again until they finally, you know, heal. Right?
Yeah.
But that's trickier to do when it gets kind of more remote, I think, right? So then when it becomes a big group over there on the other side of the world, then sometimes I think we forget that, you know, they're either expressing love or fear.
Right.
It's the exact same thing. They're either expressing love or fear, and if they're expressing from a place of fear, they need love and compassion, period, right? And that's it. It's that simple. But, you know, the judgment of the mind and, well, no, but they do this or this is that or blah, blah, blah. And all the circumstances get spun into the whole mix, which distorts and complicates and whatever confuses you into judgment.
Yeah.
Right. So it's always that simple. The other thing that when you look at it, it's like, can you look at when have I felt that same energy? And it won't be the same action, right? Because that's where the physical external manifestation of action will be different for them, that other person, and you. And that's where it makes it easy to judge, because you'd say, I would never behave that way. You know what I mean? Oh, I would never do that. You know, I can't believe they did that. But you may have done something else in thought, maybe in action, that held the same kind of vibrational energy. And in other words, if you really just cook it down to the energy of attack, let's say for terrorism, when have you wanted to attack somebody else? When have you attacked your brother or sister in your mind with angry thoughts? When have you had a murderous thought, right? When have you been irritated with somebody? And the Course says that minor irritation is the same as murderous rage. So are you telling me you've never had irritation towards your brother or sister, right? You know what
right.
I mean? And if you did, then really it's just the form of expression that's you've repressed and held down and shifted, right? Versus another brother or sister who's released it.
Yeah.
So you see it.
Exactly. See it, because it's all a projection. It's a projection of fear and unconscious guilt, which is a roundabout way of the ego trying to figure out how to feel love again. And so, yeah, if it's a terrorist organization attacking, it's because they were attacked somewhere else along the way. And now you've got like a Fox News agency or ultra-conservative Republicans now get to justify their attack on another group, so it's hiding their unconscious shame, guilt, and fear. So that game just keeps playing out over and over again, which is why forgiveness is the process. If you want to cut the time down to basically heal all of that projection and guilt and fear, so that when you do see bombings, you know, not to downplay, like, you know, what happened in Paris. I mean, horrible, obviously, completely horrible. But the course asks you not to dwell on it being just horrible, still, you know, go about and console people and love them. But in your mind, you want to be working at things a bit differently. You want to realize that at some metaphysical level, you created this and you want to let it go and heal it. And that's when you bring in the Holy Spirit to heal your mind of the images or the experiences that you've seen. While you're still in a body, you know, while you're still, if you were involved in that, you would want to take care of yourself. You want to take care of your friends and loved ones and be part of that. But also, you would want to be working at with the course at in your mind level at the same time.
Yes, and always looking at what does it bring up for you within your own field, your own atmosphere of energy, right? Because those things will bring up all kinds of stuff, like a feeling of insecurity, a feeling of lack of safety, and a feeling of lack of trust, a feeling of you know, of fear.
Yep.
So all of those external, seemingly external events, right, trigger these things within you, and those things within you need healing and release.
Yeah, exactly.
So you heal and release that, you bring in the Holy Spirit and you work on that. At that point, you will anchor a deeper level of love and radiance within your own heart that will be less shakable, because it's a process, right? So you're constantly going into the bedrock, right? You're constantly building your house upon rock by releasing all of those things within your own heart, right? So you're constantly doing that work of solidifying and anchoring love within your own presence. And then the compassionate viewpoint and the ability to see the what's happening in the world from a place of compassion for everybody involved, for all things, for all sides, for everything, becomes natural. But you have to look at why did it generate, if it generated like an angry response, like, I can't believe it. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's for an instant, or a sense of fear, like, oh my God, you know, my kids won't be safe in this world. You know, that kind of thing for parents, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those things that are your instantaneous reaction has to be kind of allowed to come up, for healing and release.
Exactly. And I think, you know, again, it's not like I think we would all achieve ascended master level in the body form, at least with some of the magical abilities. You know, you think about a symbol like Jesus, when really ultimately he became Christ. You know, he was so at peace and at one with his creator that, you know, maybe I'm assuming that some of these stories are true, but like the idea that he's walking on water in the middle of this incredible storm on the sea, you know, to be that at love and in peace, basically so that what appears to be physical in this world, it really doesn't matter at all. You know, just like, again, I keep repeating this, but the Gary Renard books, you know, they talk about how Jesus had ascended to the point that at the time of the crucifixion, the real lesson was that he felt no pain. He just had love for his brothers and sisters. And so when he was literally being nailed to the cross, there was no pain because his mind was healed of any guilt and fear. It was gone.
Have you heard, and this is in the way of mastery, the way of the heart, I think he has a lesson where he talks about that. Do you remember that one? It's pretty potent.
I don't recall. Can you?
There is a lesson in the way of the heart where JM is channeling Jeshua, and he describes being crucified.
Okay.
It's pretty potent. But he's talking about the process of when have I, you know, kind of that whole thing of when have I wanted to do, just like I was saying, when have I wanted to be, you know, attack somebody? Well, when have I wanted to, you know, behave in maybe not in the same action, but in that same energy of attack, right? That we all have that, and we have to see ourselves as the same. And even Jesus says, right, and all these things, and even greater, you too shall do, right? He's saying we're no different. And so that's an egoic, the egoic process of either exalting people, you either look up to some people, oh my God, they're amazing, or you look down at other people, oh God, they suck. You know, that ability to look at everyone is the same, right? So he's on the cross and he's having this, and he describes this as being, guys, a Roman gladiator is about to put a nail in his hand, and he looked at the guy and he said, by this time I was good at the process, but I looked at him and my mind immediately said, when have I wanted to drive a nail into my brother's hand? When have I had murderous attacking thoughts? And he goes, and by this time I was pretty proficient and good at it. And things came up and I released them. And in that release, I held the space of, you know, unconditional love. And that and I gazed upon my brother with love and compassion. And he was hit so hard by that that he dropped the hammer and he got up and he walked away. And so apparently there was a person who was supposed to be part of the team to actually crucify him that couldn't do it when he saw him and walked away. And then he says, that guy went on to become one of, you know, we're good friends now and all this stuff. Doing work. But it was a pretty potent little story, for me anyway. And it's that whole thing, because he's talking about embodying that work that is in the course, which is, says, when have I had that energy and forgive that within myself? You know, when have I looked at, when have I wanted to do that? When have I felt the same? And that hooks you and keeps you in that level out of judgment into sameness. And the Dalai Lama always talks about that. You know, we all are just, you know, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and kids. And we all just want to be safe and feed our families. You know, we want our kids to have a better life than we had. And I mean, he's always bringing it down to the sameness, that we're all really the same, that we're all really, you know, we just want to take care of our families. You know, when you go down to it, that's the simple, you know, and keeping it there helps to keep the mind out of judgment, the ego out of judgment.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know, that gets you partly there. And the other piece of it is, I think the active piece, which is why the A Course in Miracles in theory says it'll get you there faster, is, you know, I think like Buddhism has a lot of great principles, but I think it'll get you most of the way there. But until you can get your mind or ask the Holy Spirit to heal your mind, you're just going to be in this constant loop of trying to remind yourself to be less judgmental when there's so much happening at the subconscious level.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why it is important to look back on the images that you might have personally experienced or the things that are going on today. You know, I already mentioned Donald Trump, but what a great opportunity to look at a fellow brother, and instead of using judgment and getting like really into either you completely side with this individual or are completely against this individual, to practice a forgiveness, which is realizing that you've created this situation or person, but this you'd rather see it differently, and that this person really ultimately is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at home with God, just like you are. And the more you side with that part of your mind and you see even extreme examples like that as your brother or sister in heaven as spirit, then that's what you will start to feel and experience for yourself.
Yes.
And you won't be released until you can see all your brothers and sisters in that way, regardless of how extreme they are, which is why, you know, Hitler, what a great projection example to go and heal that.
Yes.
In your mind.
Forgiving Hitler.
Yeah. But not to walk around and go, oh, well, Hitler's spirit and I forgive him and he's love. You know, probably don't want to do that practically.
Right.
I think that's where maybe some Course students have strayed in the past. And just sort of like, I know A Course in Miracles and Hitler didn't really do anything. He was a projection. You know, it's probably not the right thing to do, especially if you're in a Jewish Holocaust museum.
Absolutely. Wapnick always made jokes, right? The Course in Miracles, people the worst have at a funeral, right? Because they laugh, oh, he's not a body, you're not a body.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know? We can still be in joy right now, you know, goofing around and whatever. And it's just like, you know.
Yeah, it's meant to be practiced at your mind level. There's no reason to upset other people while you're practicing forgiveness.
And that sense of compassion and love and compassion and love and compassion, right? And extending compassion.
Exactly.
What would be you know, compassionate in that any given moment. That's what I like about that word, compassion, right? The active, it is an active form of love, right? But it's compassion. Yeah. It has a very different sense than.
Yeah. Compassion. And again, I fully would encourage people to develop a personal relationship with Holy Spirit so that you might not know what the appropriate response or behavior is. And you might not might, but when you practice forgiveness and after you kind of go through releasing it, you know, essentially you can say, okay, well, what advice do you have for me now that I've sort of cleared my mind out? And you might find that you start to get messages or feelings or things might just happen around you the more that you try to develop that communication and relationship.
Do we have actually...
Sounds like we have John on the line as well.
John. Welcome.
Good morning.
You're good freaking morning. Me out again here.
Yeah, oh, you remember.
Hey, welcome, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a question for you guys.
Sure.
And, okay, as I'm a meditator and studied the Course in Miracles. Now, as I read it, and I say, the way I understand it, the only place you can be and not be in the dream is when you're meditating and that you're in that little white light you see inside your head. Is that something you'd agree with, or do you see a different take on that?
You want to answer that one first, Scott, or you want me to go? Or
go ahead, Sheldon. Yeah, great question. Thanks, John.
I would say that the whole point of it is that you are awake within the dream, so that there's never a distinction between the waking and the dreaming state. You're just awake within. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to change anything externally that you see, but you will be completely at peace and open to everything that you see. So there's no distinction there, right? So the connection is complete as you're moving through everything that you're doing. So it's not about removing yourself from any particular state. Now you need to do that, right? Like meditate and practice, right? Because it anchors that state in. So then the question would be, can you hit that white light, right? Can you hit that white light and that blissful state that you hit in meditation? And can you do that while you're at work? Can you do that while the kids are screaming? You know what I mean? Can you do that in your daily life? And the point of it is to anchor that with practice in your bedroom, in your quiet time, you know what I mean? Going to retreat, right? You're doing those things, but it is not in isolation from this experience. That this experience, there is no difference. So it's the practice of bringing that state into everything that you do, period. So that, you understand what I mean?
Yep.
So that's the trick. That's the trick, right? Because that's the whole thing where, you know, you're like, you know, yeah, but and that's what, you know, sometimes you see people where they go, oh, well, they have a practice, you know, or they do this thing, but it seems separated from their life. Like there's a disconnect between some, you know, religious practice and then some daily life. You know, I can be a businessman and do all these crazy things or whatever, but then I, you know, do this stuff on the weekend. And you know what I mean? Like there's a disconnect between that. And what I think the course is about is a complete and absolute integration of everything. And there is no separation. There's also no separation between being divine and living in this world. Like there's no separation anywhere. So this life is not less divine. You know, it's not about trying to escape out of this life. It's about being completely divine in this life.
Okay.
A complete expression of unconditional love and radiant love in every moment.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And that's, you know, so that for me has been like I was talking, I don't know if you heard us earlier talking about doing that at work. You know what I mean? While I'm managing a body shop, you know, trying to get cars out, got angry customers yelling at you, you know what I mean? Got all these guys and they're dudes, you know what I mean? And we're running a shop, right? And how do I do that? And then I have somebody who might not be doing what I think, you know, performing as much as they need to be doing or whatever. And do I need to counsel them, fire them? What do I got to do? So those are very real, for me, this is my experience, business decisions or whatever you want to call it, right? That I'm trying to work through. and still hold that light and still hold that radiance and still hold that place. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. Scott, it's like we have much time. I'm sorry. 90 seconds.
Yeah. 90 seconds. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for calling, man. You've given me a heart attack again.
Thanks so much, John. You take care. We'll talk to you, again, I'm sure.
If you had any other further stuff, it's let me give you my email address. It's SSJ, SamSamJ, 888 at gmail.com. So three letters, Sam, SSJ, 888 at gmail.com. Scott, you want to give me your...
Yeah, actually, or you could just go to ofcourseradio.com and just send an email through our contact page as well. But yeah, awesome. We'd love to talk to you some more, John. Yeah.
Yep. You have any questions?
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. No, the only thing I was going to ask is, Sheldon, when do you do your class in San Mateo?
Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
And we are...
Good. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much. We might have lost
I've been
Sheldon.
Talking for years about making that a virtual Skyped in kind of a thing. So,
yeah, that would be
thanks,
great.
John. Thanks for calling, man.
Yep. Thank you very much. I know we've got just a few seconds left. No problem. So thank you to everyone that has listened today or will be listening on the virtual recordings. And we will be talking to you again a couple weeks from now, probably pre-recorded since we'll be busy over the holidays. But have a wonderful Christmas holiday season, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Sheldon. Love you.
Love you, brother. Take care. Rock on.